You're listening to From Now On, a ministry of Freeport Bible Church, helping listeners to make better decisions from now on.
Now, how many of you know that that song is easier said than done? Easier said than done. A nice little jingle, if only if it was that simple where we can just sing away our worries. The great antithesis of faith is worry. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, in one of his famous mountain messages, says this, starting from verse 25. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, or what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? For look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And when you don't worry, and why do you worry about clothes? You see how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows, and this is the key, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself, for each day has enough trouble of its own. Let the church say, amen. Today we're going to be talking about winning the war on worry, the stresses of life. And the big idea is this, that we can't control everything in life. We know this. But we can control whether or not we worry about it or we trust God through it. But what Jesus was saying, he was not saying that trouble will not come. He was not trying to convince those listeners that trouble won't be present. But what he was trying to convince them was that even in the midst of trouble, God is still present. And so if you're a worrier here today, God has something to say to you. But we need to win this war on worry. But someone once said that worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. You see, we live in a world and an age full of anxiety. The news headlines scream crisis, and social media feeds stir comparisons, and our minds rehearse worst-case scenarios at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And many of us have worry as a default setting. But Jesus answers a different way. He offers a different way. He calls us out of the hamster wheel of anxiety and into a place of peace and trust. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus showed up to the home of two sisters. And one sister, who was probably used to entertaining guests, saw that Jesus and his disciples were on the way, and so she did what every Bohemian mother would do, start put on a pot, make sure the house clean the bathrooms, make sure the floor is swept, don't let Jesus see the roaches, all that stuff. And as she slaved in the kitchen, as she slaved in the living room, as she made sure that all of the guests were accommodated, her sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet as Jesus taught. And she got upset. And she went to Jesus and she said, Jesus, I'm here slaving, I'm here working. Could you please tell my sister to do something? To stop being lazy? She know that we have guessed why she's sitting down. And Jesus said to her, Martha, 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 you're worried about a whole lot of things. But your sister has chosen the best thing. Now, what do we mean when we say worry? What are we talking about? Just to get an idea of this, because you know we want to make sure we have the definitions now. When we say don't worry, what exactly are we talking about? When we talk about worry, we're talking about that feeling of anxiety or trouble about actual or potential problems. So this is a part of life. Anyone have responsibility? Yeah, if you have responsibility, you're concerned about things. But worry is this constant fixation, this constant focus on a problem or potential problems. Anxiety is when we worry about it long before it even happened. A couple of years ago, I got a call from Central Police Station, an officer calls and says, Pastor Kyle, and I don't know why they did this. Pastor Kyle, I need to see you tomorrow. And you know, I'm trying to play it cool. They don't come off guilty for nothing. So I said, no problem, what time? 9 a.m. sharp. And I kid you not. And from 4:30 that day to 8:59 the next morning, I went through the Rolodex of my entire life. Even before I got saved, I wondered whether or not Mr. Boyd in Elutra reported me when I stole that candy out of the store at 11 years old. They was now coming back for me. Listen, it was bad. I started to wonder, did I steal anything? Did I kill anybody? Did I leave the scene of a crime? Oh, my mind just went over and over. And I was walking up and down the house. And my wife kept saying, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I say, praying. But when I got there, it had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with something productive. But I could remember as he was laying out this plan, I was just sucking my teeth. I couldn't grasp, why didn't you just say that in the first place? But that's what worry does. It creates this anxiety and it fixates on all. Now, my mind did not say, Kyle, they're calling you to give you an award. But my mind said, they're going to lock you up. You're going to be in the punch. But worrying is a challenge even for God's people. For Jesus was preaching this to his people. His Sermon on the Mount, they sat at his feet, and he, of all the things that he could teach about, he taught about worrying. But I want to draw some observations from both Luke chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 6 about worry, and then we're going to talk about how to remedy it. How do we win it? But there's a few key observations I want to bring to your attention, and one of the things that jumps out to me right away about worrying is that Jesus seems to teach that worrying is a choice. That we get to choose whether or not we are going to live in a state of angst or not. For in Matthew chapter 6, he says to those who are listening, he says, do not worry, which means that you have an option to not worry. He says, don't allow your mind to fixate on the problems in front of you too long or the potential problems that can come down the line. He says, don't do that. But worry is a choice. It feels automatic, but it's a choice. If you look closely in Luke chapter 10, Martha had a choice and Mary had a choice. Martha chose to panic. Mary chose peace. In the same house, same situation, but they had different focuses. So worrying is a choice. And it's fitting that we've been talking about taking every thought captive in our minds. And some of us, we've already conditioned our minds for the worst case scenario. What if I get sick? It's a choice. It's a choice if we're going to fixate on it. And we're not talking about being irresponsible. We're not talking about burying our heads in the sand. We're talking about fixating too long on some things we don't need to be fixating on. Pastor Tony Evans once said that peace doesn't mean that you will not have problems. Peace means that your problems won't have you. Because I know, and y'all look so good up here, but here's what I know. You got problems, and I got problems. All of God's children got problems. Even the ones that speak in tongues. Even the ones that preach. Even the ones that go to the third heaven. Everybody got a problem. Being saved doesn't exclude us from problems, but we can always choose. But Jesus reminds us that worrying is a choice. Secondly, I've discovered that worrying is like the empty calories of faith, of spirituality. It's like the empty calories of spirituality. Now imagine this. Imagine spending, I didn't even know this was a thing. Imagine spending money to go buy a bag of potato chips. Imagine taking the potato chips, sitting down and exercising your jaw up and down. Allowing your saliva to break it down and putting that stuff down in your body and allowing your, causing your body to digest that stuff. And you sit down and only to find out that your body got nothing from that big bag of potato chips. Nothing good. But worrying is like the empty calories of faith and spirituality. It does nothing. And if you don't believe me, look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. He says, which of you, by worrying, by fixating on the problem, and by fixating on the potential problems, which one of you can add one cubit to your own stature? It feels like work, you know. It feels productive, but worrying does not produce anything. Pastor Kyle, no. Now, here's what I know. I know what you're thinking. I know just what you're thinking. You lie, Pastor. But here's what I do know. It is possible to not worry. Because we all have people in our life who we think should be worried about things that we end up having to worry about. Right? You're the one that's paying all the bills. Why is she sleeping? Well, you know what I mean, Don? You understand? You know? You raising this child, he have no idea how the child eating or whatnot. We know because we know some people choose to not worry and you either love them or you hate them. What's wrong with you? The bank coming for the house? We let them take it then? And you just want to strangle them? These people have discovered the secret to life. You know, I struggled with this. Early in the morning, I used to get up and watch the news. And I thought that I was being responsible and staying up to date on what's going on in the world. And I thought I was making myself smarter. But I realized I was making myself scared, more fearful, and more cynical because I was digesting the bad, only the bad. You know, good news out there. You got to open the Bible. Ain't nothing, good news don't sell. Something always happening. Someone always steals something. Someone always dead. Someone always lying. Always some scandal. But you feel as if you get informed, you're better, but you realize, when you get mature, you just watch what you put into your mind. You realize that? You no longer want to, I don't want to hear it. I don't care if it's breaking news. I don't want to hear it. But it's when it comes to worrying, fixating on the problem and fixating on some things that are beyond your control, Jesus said it adds no value to our lives. This is Jesus. This is the master, not the pastor. It adds no value to your lives. And every minute spent worrying is a minute that's stolen from worship, from prayer, and purpose-driven living. And God invites us to trade anxiety and trade fear for faith. But the third observation about worrying that Jesus seems to teach is that worrying is contagious. It's contagious. It just kind of goes. And I wrote down this statement, and I've discovered this. The more we worry, the more we worry. The more we get in the pattern of fixating on problems and things that we can't control, the more we impulsively tend to do that under every circumstance. And then, don't be in a group full of worriers. My God. It's contagious. They will invent things for you to worry about. What if? What if? What if the doctor can't come in that morning and get a flat tire when you're on your way? What if the sky falls while you're there? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if? That's what worriers do. But people who are worriers, they create unnecessary anxiety. What you gonna do after the wedding? Well, let me get to the wedding first. Let me get there. Well, you know, chains coming at the top. What you could do if they decide to fire you? But let them fire me first. But Jesus said, not only did people begin to worry about what they're going to eat, he says, the more you worry about what you're going to eat, then all of a sudden you're worrying about what you're going to drink. And then after you worry about what you're going to drink, then you're going to worry about what you're going to put on. And where you're going to lay your head, he says, it just grows. It continuously grows and grows if you're not careful. It's contagious. Fear is contagious. In a 2023 study, found that people are more likely to feel anxious after scrolling through friends' stress posts. Now, what that means is, you know, we live in a time where people don't talk to people about their problems. They talk to everybody. They kind of post. Gone are the days where you could write down in your diary and tuck it under the... Something happened in the kitchen. Everybody who know that Pastor Kyle ain't washed the dishes because my wife mad and she posting on Facebook, when you get married, I must be a slave. Right? Or... A lot of time, people use social media to kind of stress post their stresses. And the study says that people develop anxiety just by listening to other people's problems. So worrying is a choice. Worrying is like empty calories. Worrying is contagious. But the question this morning here, because we ain't here to diagnose, we had to try to find a remedy. How do we win the war on worry as believers? Well, I want to give these to you quickly this morning. I know all ideas may not be the most sexiest message, but I want it to be very practical. How do you win the war on worry? If you're here today and you're anxious, you are an anxious person. You're here today and you're worried about tomorrow already. You're already worrying about what you can eat. You're already worrying about what tomorrow holds. There's some things that you can begin to do in faith that I believe will help remedy it. Number one, choose a time not to worry. Since worry is a choice, choose a time not to worry. The Bible says that Mary chose better, Martha. Don't be mad. Don't be upset. And anxious people want you to be anxious with them. What they say, misery love company? Worriers love company too. They just want to get together in one big worry circle and sing one big worry hymn and write one big worry book and cut one big worry movie and start one worry party. But Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet And the point is, ladies and gentlemen, we can choose what we respond to. God has given us the power to navigate our thoughts. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty in God. And he says, eventually we are able to take captive, we are able to take captive every thought. And so here are some practical steps. Number one, build no worry zones into your day. Build some no worry zones into your day. Times when you intentionally unplug and pray. If you don't do this, you're going to be moving at a pace that is unsustainable for us as Christians. Excuse me, as humans. Build no worry. You know what a no worry zone is? When you, some people just lock up in the car before they go inside. As you wait. The car now is the new holy of holies in the court. Right. But choose times, and you have to be deliberate about it. Choose times when you have no worry zones. And build it into your day where you intentionally unplug and pray. Leave this. And I know the man wants you on the job. I know he calling. But he ain't gonna know that you ain't know. You could turn the phone off, or you could kind of let him know that don't call you between 5 a.m. and 5:15 a.m., that you got to leave something for God and for yourself. I'm telling you, don't let him run you ragged. I say it every other week. You get sick, 2 cookouts. They give you 2 cookouts before they fire you. Just letting you know. If you can't perform because you're stressed out, if you can't perform, they will hug you and they will put your job on LinkedIn the next week. And so you have to take a step back and you have to build the kind of life that you want. You must build no worry zones in your day. And now don't get slick with it. Don't halfway do it. I remember I used to get ready in the morning and I used to say, let me do my Bible reading, but I'm too busy, got kids. You know what I'll do? I'll just put the Bible reading on audio and let it play in the background while I work. You're only scamming yourself. You have to unplug. Even Jesus withdrew. Where he didn't want to be bothered, he wanted to. This pace that this world is putting us in, it is an unsustainable pace. So start your morning. Also, number two, start your mornings with worship, not with your phone or TV. Start with worship. And end your night with gratitude. See, these are the small things that we can do to begin to condition our mind. To not be overwhelmed by the things of this world. And again, it is not a bury my face in the sand approach to challenges. It's a take a step back and prepare for what's in front of you. So build no worry zones. Start your morning off with worship and end your night with gratitude. Number two, and this is the hard one, contribute to what you can control. What you can control. A lot of times we worry about things that we have no business worrying about. We have no business worrying about it at all. But contribute to what you can control. Not what the other person doing. Because you can't control everything, but we can control our own responses and manage what's in your hand and trust God with what's not. A couple of years ago, you know, I was flying to Abaco with Pastor Beckles. He liked to fly. And he came up with this brilliant idea to take a four-seater or two-seater. It looked like a two-seater to me. Take this two-seater from here to Abaco. Now, it's just me and him. So we jump on this rickety plane. Well, walk into the plane. I said, oh, we got a plane. He said, yeah. I said, this plane was, this is a 1970. Said, this is a 1970 something single engine prop Cessna, and I don't know what that, all I heard was 1970. Now, I don't know of any 1970 cars on the road. So for you to tell me that we're getting in a 1970 airplane, and he's saying that this is an antique. They belong in the museum. But I decided, why is a fool? So I decided you'd be a good trooper, and we got into the thing, and we sat there the whole time, and I looking as filled as possible, and I sat there, and we took off, and I scared out of my licks. And we did get some, and you should see me fantasizing. If I jump out here and I land in the water at a 75-degree angle, maybe I can hit my head on the reef and somebody can find. And I'm saying, boy, listen, if this go down, you go down yourself. Ain't nothing you could do. You're already up there. And so now I have to trust the pilot. And so as we went through those little clouds, and I scared, I just looking over, if Pastor Beckles did blink, if a drop of sweat, if he had panicked at any point, y'all wasn't going to see me here today. But I had to relax, and I had to say, okay, I can't grab the steering wheel because I have no idea where we're going. I have no idea how to land, take off, or anything. You got to put it in the hands of the person that knows best. And a lot of times when it comes to life, we got to let Jesus take the wheel. We got to know where our responsibility starts and where our responsibility stops. So make a list. Make a list called what I can control versus what I must trust God for. That's your homework. Right before football starts today, make your list. Well, the Dolphins ain't worrying about that. They got all week. Make a list of the things that I can control and the things I have to trust God for. Make that list. Number two, do your best with the first list and surrender the second one in prayer. You got your list? One is what you are in control of. The other is what you're not in control of. The first one, what you're in control of, you commit yourself to do your very best. The second one, you say, God, is up to you. Now, it may not solve any problems, but it'll help your mind. It'll help your anxiety. And whenever anxiety rises, you say to it, that's God's list. The reformer Martin Luther says, pray and let God worry. Contribute to what you can control.
If you want to learn more about Freeport Bible Church, visit www.freeportbiblechurch.org, follow us on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram, or download the Freeport Bible Church mobile app in the Apple and Google Play Store. Or call us at 242-352-7600. Freeport Bible Church. Love God. Love people. Serve the world.